What's up, everybody? My name is Billy Archiello, and this is the Road to Revolution podcast, all about my personal journey following Linkin Park over the years. I've been very fortunate enough to have seen Linkin Park 34 times in concert over the last 17 and a half years. That's not counting signings or meet and greets or side project shows like Fort Minor or Dead by Sunrise or Stone Temple Pilots or anything like that. That's just Linkin Park shows, like going to see them perform live as Linkin Park. And 34 over 17 years, that's an average of 2 times a year, which most people don't see their own favorite band twice ever. Some don't even get to see them at all. Some see them once, maybe twice. But I've, like I said, have been fortunate enough to see Linkin Park 34 times so far. Hopefully they do continue. I would love to continue to see them as I get older. I feel like I've grown up with them. I mean, I'm 31 right now. I started seeing them when I was almost about to be 14. I was like a month shy of being 14 years old, first time I saw them, which is what today's show is going to be about. Given I have a long history of shows that I've seen them at and a long history of amazing memories and stories over the years, I thought this would be a great way to record and capture those stories while I still have them mostly correct, I think, in my head. So even if nobody listens to this, these will be cool to have, you know, years down the line to listen to and say, you know, oh, I had a really, really good time going to all those shows over the years. So it's a little weird doing a podcast by yourself. You don't have anyone to bounce off of, but this is a nice way just to kind of stroll down memory lane and think about all those great times, which, you know, have been some of the best moments of my life. And if this keeps going and people keep listening, you'll hear that there were a lot of amazing, great times, and some of the best moments of my life have come from going to all these shows. So yeah, let's jump right into it and, you know, dive right in. The first time I ever saw Linkin Park was in November of 2000. It was November 10th, 2000 at the Roseland Ballroom in New York City. That was the second time they had ever played New York. Previously, they had played like a little shy of 2 months earlier at the same venue. They played what the local radio station K-Rock called the Lodo Show. K-Rock's station was 92.3, so they would do these gimmick shows where the tickets were 92 cents and they would sell out almost instantly. And I wasn't able to get a ticket. I think more so than not being able to get a ticket was I grew up in a very strict house, where if a concert was on a weeknight, it just wasn't going to happen. So I just, you know, sucked it up and said, oh, you know, hopefully they come around soon. And luckily they did less than 2 months later. So, but that first time they played was at same venue, Roseland. It was September of 2000. They played with Disturbed and Fuel. And while I would have loved to have been to that show, you know, I'm very happy with what ended up being my first Linkin Park show. So as I mentioned, November 10th, 2000 at the Roseland Ballroom, they were opening for POD's Kings of the Game tour. POD was headlining. Linkin Park was the very first band on. They played a 30-minute set, at the most, maybe 35. It was about 30 minutes. They went on first, and then Project 86 went on after them, and then Head PE was direct support for POD. So Linkin Park goes on, and I'll just recap the set list before I go into my personal story about it. I'm only a 7-song set, but they had a 12-song album. If you take out, you know, the Mr. Han track, which you shouldn't, but if you do, the album has 11 full songs plus Mr. Han's DJ track. They played 7 songs. That's a good chunk of their main album. Which is pretty good for an opening band. Most bands will get 3 or 4 songs, but Linkin Park's first album, Hybrid Theory, is like 36 minutes long or 38. So it's really short. So they were able to get, you know, a lot of their songs into these short sets, which I feel helped them a whole lot. Just because the more they could play and the more exposure they got, people will go, oh, I need to go pick up their album. I'd went to that show with a friend of mine who didn't really know a lot about them. And after they were like, we got to go get their album, you know, we got to go see them when they come back. So they definitely were converting people as they saw them opening for other bands. But this was their set list. They opened with A Place for My Head, which it's unheard of now to think that they opened with A Place for My Head, because that opener is just insane. You know, there's always been a ton of energy attached to that song, whether they're playing in a club or a festival or a stadium or an arena, it doesn't matter. Playing that song in front of a crowd who's into it is just absolutely insane. So they open with A Place for My Head, and then they go Forgotten, into Paper Cut, then By Myself, In the End, With You, and they close with what was their perpetual closer for years, One Step Closer. So like I said, only a 7-song set. Now, anyone who knows anything about Linkin Park knows they love going out and meeting the fans and saying hi and signing autographs and taking pictures and getting to know the people that are supporting them. But of course, this show, there was a little hiccup with that. They had gotten booked on some event in LA the very next day. It wasn't even like a nighttime thing. It was like, I think they played in the afternoon in a Best Buy parking lot in California. And they played like a 9 or 10 song set that day. But because of that, they couldn't hang out, which I was a little bummed about. I would have loved to have met them, you know. Silly, naive me thinking that was my only chance. Little did he know what the next 17 years would entail. But it was, I was just blown away. Like, their stage presence was absolutely amazing. And I'd seen a couple of shows at that point. I only started going to concerts in 2000. So I think that show was my 6th concert ever. Prior to that, I'd seen Korn and Staind. They were my first show, and that blew my mind because I didn't know that much power and energy could happen on stage. So seeing that live in concert was amazing. And then over the next couple of months, I went to go see Kiss on one of their many farewell tours in the summer of 2000. And I saw Limp Bizkit on their Free Napster tour. I saw Limp Bizkit again with the Anger Management tour with Eminem and Papa Roach. And then I saw, there was another show after that in between that and Linkin Park. Slipknot on Halloween, which as a young little non-confrontational freshman in high school, going to see Slipknot, Mudvayne, and Hatebreed on Halloween night in New York City was nuts. One of the craziest shows I've ever been to, still to this day. And I've seen Slipknot a bunch more times after that, but just crazy. But we're not doing a Slipknot podcast. We're doing a Linkin Park podcast. So this was the 6th concert. So I'd been to a handful of shows, and I've seen crazy stage presence, been, you know, between Kiss and Limp Bizkit and Korn and Eminem and Papa Roach, and all of those bands like had amazing stage presence and could really put on a show. So seeing Linkin Park for the first time there was, well, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I'd heard them on the radio and I had their album now, but I didn't know, you know, would they be good live? Would they not be good live? I didn't know, but I was very excited. And so they play their set and I'm just floored. They are amazing. I need merch. I need to meet them. I need to know when they're coming back. I'm hooked. Up until that point, over the years prior, as I got into music a lot more, I started playing guitar, and all that because of Korn. Korn was my favorite band up until Linkin Park came out. And then it was game over. Linkin Park, right then and there became my favorite band, and they still are to this day. So they play their show and they say, oh, you know, we would love to stay, but you know, we have to head out, but, we're gonna come back soon. And if I remember correctly, I think they signed a couple of posters and threw them into the crowd just to be like, hey, look, you know, we normally love to stay and sign and hang out, but we can't. So, you know, here's at least a couple of posters. Hopefully some of you guys get them. Which was cool. Obviously, I was nowhere near the front of the stage, so I didn't get one. But I was happy nonetheless. I really hope no one makes a counter for this show, because I am going to say it a lot. So I apologize. But after the show, I'm already on cloud 9. Linkin Park was amazing. Project A6 was fine. I never really got into them, so I wasn't you know, nothing blew me away there. Head P was really good. I was never a big fan of theirs, but they were very, very good that night. And then POD was the first time I'd ever seen them, and they actually put on a really good show. So after the show, we leave, and a friend of mine says, hey, let's go around to the outside, the other side of the venue. You know, the bands come out and they'll sign and meet people. And that blew my mind. I didn't, you know, now that seems like second nature. That's, you know, just, you know, you go to a show and, you know, after you, you know, see where the entrance to the stage door is or where the loading area is, and you'll, you can might be able to meet some of them. And I've met tons of bands through that over the years. But I didn't know that at the time. So I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, let's do that. So we went around. And I'd bought two shirts at the show. I bought the Lincoln logos shirt, you know, with the four different logos, with the LP and the arrow and the kind of graffiti looking LP. And then I bought the POD shirt. It was the tour shirt. It was a white shirt and it had like the cover art from their first album. And I was like, this is cool. I got, you know, new shirts and the show was amazing. And then Sonny comes out from POD and says hi to everybody and starts signing stuff. And I just hand him my ticket to get signed. And the guy that took us to the show, this guy, Mike, I was like, "What do you give him your shirt?" I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. I was just so dumbfounded and starstruck. Like, this is amazing. You can just meet celebrities. I'd never met anyone famous before. I met some wrestlers up until that point, but you know, for me, wrestlers and musicians were totally different levels. Like wrestling was like, oh, well, you know, they go, they're like athletes. It was different to me. But yeah, meeting music was like, oh my God, these are legit Hollywood celebrities. Like, this is crazy. And he signed my shirt. And I distinctly remember there was a McDonald's not far from the Roseland Ballroom. And I remember sitting in the McDonald's and our, you know, we got our food and we're sitting at the table. And I'm just staring at this T-shirt. And he signed it in red, so it stood out on the white shirt. And I'm just like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, this is the best night. Like, no concert will top this. Spoiler alert, past 14-year-old Billy, many concerts will top that night. A lot of them will be Linkin Park concerts. But some will not be. Some are going to be other shows. But yeah, a lot of shows have topped that since. But that night was just amazing to me. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. You could meet these people. And I was just floored. And that was the first show. I went home and I framed the POD shirt and I wore the ever living crap out of that Linkin Park shirt. Like, it was a nice solid black shirt when I first got it. And it was the most faded gray of black you'll ever see. I don't know where that shirt is now. I wish I still had it. But I wore the hell out of it. And the fact that I can go back almost 18 years, well, 17 and a half at this point, and still remember so much vividly from that show and that night will bode well, because if that's the earliest point I need to remember for this podcast, then I'm doing good. But yeah, that was the first show. I'm going to break the shows up episode by episode to keep them short and easy to listen to. Figure about 15 minutes. Some shows may be longer just because certain shows are going to have bigger stories. You know, some shows might be a little uneventful. That may just be, hey, I went to this Linkin Park show and this is, you know, what happened, and it'll be quick. But there's going to be some that are going to be super intense and long and a lot going on, which is great. I actually love telling those stories the best, because one specifically is one of the best nights of my life. So I'm very excited to get to that one. But that is, I think, show 16 or 14. So we have a little ways away for that one, but I do thank you for listening if you did. And if you're listening from Reddit, what's up r/Linkin Park. I thank you guys for giving this a shot and giving it a listen. And yeah, that is it. Once again, thanks for listening. This is Billy and this has been my road to revolution.